The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson. In the headlines, National Petroleum Authority asked to work with bulk distribution companies to streamline credit regimes in downstream petroleum sector. Rehabilitation works on Adomi Bridge, 58% complete. Government to close down witches camp to protect inmates. UN launches urgent Ebola aid appeal, and ISIS militants group driven out of northern Syrian town of Kobani. The Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakofi-Bua, has urged the National Petroleum Authority to work with the bulk petroleum distribution companies, BDCs, and the oil marketing companies to streamline the credit regimes in the downstream petroleum sector. This is to help stop what he termed the cash and carry system BDCs are using in selling petroleum products to filling stations to curtail the artificial shortage of products on the market. Mr. Kofi-Bua was speaking at a workshop for the Parliamentary Press Corps on operations and challenges in the downstream petroleum sector in Accra. He asked petroleum service providers to ensure competitive pricing.
The petroleum service providers are being also encouraged to compete fairly by setting their own S-pump prices below the maximum indicated prices. For example, you saw COIL consistently having very lower pump prices. This is really the spirit of deregulation. But as we talk about that, some of the challenges that we've had of late, especially indebtedness to BDCs by OMC, that quite frankly resulted because we are a little lax in the credit controls. And if BDCs are competing at that level, it will go to a point where you saw that a lot of OMCs were not, quite frankly, meeting their credit obligations and created challenges that we are currently dealing with. And so going forward, while we encourage that competition, we need to continue to work the NPA to put in systems that allow these credit controls to take place so that BDCs can be financially sound and the OMCs can also operate and that we can assure that there's product all year round. I think that you see why of late there are certain stations, even though we have enough products in the market, you go there and there's no product and you wonder whether they are shortage.
The minister said the ordinary Ghanaian must not be punished if a particular station is unable to pay its credit. He touched on subsidies and outstanding subsidy debts owed by government.
As you also know, the past government has pursued a policy of subsidizing petroleum products as and when it considers full cost recovery too high to pass on those prices to consumers. This unfortunately led to accumulation of under recovery of rates owed to BDCs in 2013. We began the very critical steps of really asking the tough questions and dealing with the issues of subsidy. For example, you all know the issue of subsidy on kerosene. And how at some point it became very clear that if we are spending that huge amount at some point, over $40 million a year on subsidy on kerosene, and when we realistically knew that quite frankly the kerosene was not getting to the rural communities that we really target, and I'm very happy that with your support those subsidies were removed and we are doing now solar lanterns to communities, and I believe we are really doing proper targeting of those subsidies to those people that really need it. And a lot of the other subsidies were completely removed. I can say on authority that the only subsidy that we know we are now focused on is Primex for fishermen and RFO, which is basically for the fishing community. We continue to put in system to sanitize that business premise to make sure that indeed it is really going to the intended recipients of those subsidies. So those are very critical because it goes to the core of all the challenges we had in terms of under recovery, serious outstanding under recovery, which currently stands around 400 million. I'm talking about only the under recovery, not talking about whether it's forest and other issues.
You have the Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakofi-Bua. The Ghana Employers Association, GEA, in collaboration with the Business Advocacy Fund, BUSAC, has organized a stakeholders workshop in Accra on counterfeit and illicit trade, especially for those in the pharmaceutical, textiles and garments industry. The Vice President of GEA, Dr. Yao Edujemfi, who opened the workshop, said the association is waging war on counterfeiting because it deprives honest workers of jobs and sustainable income, Dr. Edujiemfi noted that Ghana has been identified as a top dumping destination for fake and illegally imported goods due to the high demand created by local consumers. The chief executive of the Ghana Employers Association, Alex Rimpong, said Ghanaian companies will benefit immensely if the high rate of counterfeiting and illicit trade is checked.
For companies, it means that your creative potential is stifled because you are not, through counterfeits, able to reap the full benefits of your research, ingenuity, and productivity. Again, it will also ensure that you will not make the profit that you have to make because other substandard goods compete with you on the market, and to that extent, your products may not be able to reap the maximum benefits that will come from the sweat of your enterprise. For companies, you are not able to really improve the bottom line in the hope that you can engage a number of workers to work in your organization and also the country as a whole. So primarily, you realize that one of the greatest challenges facing the country in respect of unemployment has to do with counterfeits, where businesses are not able to thrive and grow and expand because of counterfeits. For the country, your reputation suffers because it becomes a haven or a dumping ground for substandard products.
In a commendation, the Ghana Employers Association called for an increase in the penalty points for people who infringe on people's intellectual property. It's called for specialized courses to deal with infringement in intellectual property. The Chief Justice, Georgina Theodora Wood, has stressed the need for judges to be conversant with international maritime conventions in order to deal with increasing maritime challenges. She stressed the need for the establishment of maritime courts to handle such matters. The Chief Justice was speaking at the 10th Maritime Law Seminar for Justices of the Supreme Court in Accra. Judge Jechi reports.
The Maritime Seminar for Judges is to create the awareness for the bench and bar in the specialized field of maritime law to enable them better appreciate the nuances of the subject. It also served as a forum for bringing out the peculiarities of the practice of maritime law in the country. Opening the seminar, the Chief Justice Georgina Wood said as the ocean and sea constitutes about 90% of global trade, so will it come with its attendant problems. There is therefore the need for judges to be conversant with international conventions in order to adjudicate such cases when they come before them. The Chief Justice said Ghana, unlike most countries in Europe, is a dual state, hence the need for international conventions to be extrapolated into national law.
I therefore wish to use this occasion to entreat the relevant state agents, including our parliament, to work assiduously towards the incorporation of conventions to which Ghana is a party into national law, so that our judges may use them in the adjudication of matters pertinent to these conventions when such matters come before them.
You have the Chief Justice, Georgina Theodora Wood. That report was filed by Joyce Gitchy. Rehabilitation works on the Adome Bridge is 58% complete. Major replacements of bridge deck and hangar cables is halfway through. Project manager Dr. Paul Herman disclosed this when the board of the Ghana Highway Authority went on a fact-finding mission to the project site to monitor progress of work. Mr. Herman was optimistic that the project team will meet the 24-month deadline. Yvonne Atilegu has filed this report.
The Adome Bridge was closed to motorists this year to allow major rehabilitation work to take place. The rehabilitation became necessary due to increased overloading of vehicles, which gradually affected the bridge, causing it to eventually develop cracks. Actual handing over for repair works on the bridge was done in March this year to Blithenga MCE, the sole engineers handling the project. Dr. Herman said total physical work done include engineering services and design, supply of the bridge replacement materials, supply of large cables and installation of the new bridge deck.
We actually passed the center of the bridge. Now we are on section number 13. In total, the bridge consists of 23 sections and 12 are installed and 13 is about to be installed. This percentage refers to our whole centric, which also includes design works, fabrication works, delivery and installation. So within this 50%, if you look around at our yard, for example, the production work is totally completed. The installation of the deck now has passed the half, but this 57% which we are talking about, they refer to the whole company.
Dr. Herman also spoke on outstanding works left so far.
Outstanding jobs are now to finish the steel deck, we need to come to the other side. Then within the next month, we start to replace the hanger cables. And after this, we have to apply the corrosion protection on the whole structure, including the arch. So I'm happy that we are having this progress. No major difficulties until now. And I hope that we are going to continue in the same way.
The board chairman of the Ghana Highway Authority, Bashiru Lamotete Sakibu, was happy about progress made. He expressed confidence in the project team to complete work on schedule.
Progress has been very good, very fantastic. When we were here last April, they were just at the very beginning. They haven't even launched anything. They haven't started removing the old deck. They've removed all that, they've put in replacement, and they are past the 50% point of the bridge. It's 6 months, April and October. So it has been very good progress. And they programmed themselves to finish in about a year's time. And I assure you, they will finish at the rate they're going. There may be one or two challenges. I believe my ministry is on top of it, and we will resolve those whatever challenges confront us. We are on course. Nobody is pushing anybody. They have come here with their own program, and they are following their program. When you have a good contractor, that's what's happening.
The Adame Bridge Rehabilitation Project is funded by the Ghana government through a concessional credit facility of 12.90 million euros from an Austrian bank.
That was Ivona Tilego's report. The government is putting in place tests to close down all witches camps across the country as part of efforts to protect the rights of women held in the camps. In line with this, the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection is collaborating with civil society organizations and relevant legal representatives to ensure the release of the alleged witches currently being camped. The sector minister, Nanoye Leta, said this at a mock presentation of Ghana's report on the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, CEDAW, in Accra. The report will be presented to the UN General Assembly. The Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, CEDAW, is internationally acknowledged as the Bill of Rights for Women's Rights and establishes an agenda for action by member countries to guarantee respect, protection and promotion of women's rights. Initiated by the UN in 1979, CEDAW has a committee before which member countries present their individual national reports on gender issues collated every 4 years. Ghana signed onto CEDAW in 1986. In June 2012, the then Ministry of Women and Children Affairs presented the 6th and 7th country reports to the CEDAW committee. The committee, upon review of the report, raised questions about certain items contained in it. This year's report, to be presented by the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection, contains collated responses to the questions raised in the previous report. Nanoye Leta said there have been improvements on the gender front as far as women are concerned ever since the 6th and 7th reports were submitted to the committee. She said the ministry is making progress in fighting for the enforcement of the property rights of spouses and legislative instruments for domestic violence, among other legal issues. Nanoye Leta further stated that Ghana is on track to achieving Millennium Development Goal 1 of reducing extreme poverty in the country. According to her, the Ghana Living Standards Survey indicates a decrease in poverty levels to 8.4% between 2005 and 2013. On the issue of witches camps, Nanoye Leta said the government is working hard for the release of women in such camps. So far, 132 alleged witches have been released at various camps and reintegrated into their communities. She said the government's quest to end all forms of discrimination against women is on course. The Electricity Company of Ghana has hinted of the most unfriendly load shedding program ever. Under the new load shedding exercise, consumers will have electricity for 24 hours and go off for 24 hours continuously. The public relations officer of the company, William Boateng, said the revision will take off as soon as the company receives approval from the PURC and the Ministry of Energy.
as we speak
now, we have a revised timetable with us so that we can make room of the trains now. Well, if we are moving from the initial 400 to something in the region of 500 or so, then we can easily look at the train and then redesign or revise the timetable. So we have a revised version of that where customers will go off 24 hours and come on 24 hours so that we can stick, we can actually strictly to that particular timetable. But it all depends. We'll meet with our suppliers again to give us an outlook of the situation, because we believe or we think that if it is transient, if what we are going through now, this short crisis transient, we don't need to go revise and come back and go back. I think that you understand where we are coming from.
Yeah.
So we talk to them, we talk to the regulator and the Ministry of Energy. If we come to an understanding that we need to revise it, why not? But if it is transient and based on their projection for the next few days, they are going to resolve this particular crisis and then we revert to the timetable strictly, then we don't need to do any changes. That is the situation right now.
Public Relations Officer of the ECG, William Boateng. National Petroleum Authority asked to work with bulk distribution companies to streamline credit regimes in downstream petroleum sector. We're looking at the major stories right now. Rehabilitation works on Adomi Bridge, 58% complete. Government to close down witches camp to protect inmates. UN launches urgent Ebola aid appeal, and ISIS militant group driven out of northern Syrian town of Kobani. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
Welcome back. The Emir and missionary in charge of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Mission in Ghana, Malvi Mohammed Bin Sali, has paid a courtesy call on the Director General of GBC, Major Albert Donchebe. The visit was to express appreciation to the corporation for the long-standing relationship and services GBC has been rendering to the mission. The Emir was exceptionally grateful that Major Donchebe participated fully in the mission's international convention, saying they will continue to collaborate with GBC.
There was a need for us to cement the relationship, doing something very spectacular. That spectacular something hasn't taken place yet, but we're planning to watch it. I'm only giving you a teaser so that very soon we will put our act together and the world will come to know how grateful we are to GBC for all the long-standing relationship, for all the cooperation that has been among us. Thank you for the services you've been rendering to us. Thank you for the cooperation, and thank you for the Director General of this institution accepting our invitation to be with us at our international convention, regardless of the fact that he is not a Muslim. He found time to participate fully in all the proceedings. We expected him to be there on some specific occasions only, but he particularly insisted, and he did, upon his insistence, participate in all the proceedings, for which we are really very, very grateful. And we hope and pray that the already existing cordial relationship that is there between us will keep going from strength to strength, and may Allah bless and reward each and every one of you abundantly.
The Director General, Major Donchebe, thanked the Ahmadiyya Mission for the many training programs that it brought to the doorstep of GBC. He reminded the delegation that as a public service broadcaster, GBC services are for the public, adding that the corporation is always ready to welcome any institution that is prepared to work with it.
I must say, on behalf of my management and staff, that we are very happy that you've chosen to visit us very early in your leadership of the movement in Ghana. I can assure you that we are accounted that the Ahmadiyya Muslim Mission is doing us a special service, because we have benefited tremendously from various training packages from the Ahmadiyya Television from the UK. They've come down here and given us cutting-edge technological training that we have no access to, and we value that kind of training. That is the kind of training that will enable GBC move from analog broadcasting to digital broadcasting. That is the kind of training that we have no access to in Ghana. That is the kind of training that we are not exposed to. And we value that training seriously. And it's for that reason that we ensure that we can have this relationship move forward, a mutually beneficial relationship. And we pray if there are other organizations out there who have skills and services that they can partner with us for airtime, we are ready to have this kind of relationship. We are a state broadcaster, we are owned by the public, and our services are for the public. And everyone is free to walk in here, have a discussion with us. Whatever will facilitate the work of GBC, we are ready to pick it up and move it forward.
The Amir Malvi Mohammed bin Sali presented two books, The Quran and the Philosophies of the Teachings of Islam, to Major Don Chibi, while the Director General in return decorated the team with the GBC sash. We now look at the international front. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has launched another urgent appeal for funds to help fight Ebola after a UN drive for donations fell short of its target. The UN chief said a $1 billion trust fund he launched in September has received just $100,000 so far. He joins a growing chorus of world leaders criticizing global efforts to tackle the Ebola outbreak. The disease has killed about 4,500 people, mostly in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone, although several countries across the world have pledged to support the struggle to contain Ebola. Few have matched their pledges with donations. Donors have given almost $400 million, but the trust fund itself has received pledges of just $20 million, and only Colombia has paid so far. WHO is to mobilize efforts to prevent Ebola spreading beyond the three countries most affected by the deadly virus. The WHO official Isabel Nuttall told a news conference in Geneva that 15 African countries are being prioritized. They will receive more help in areas including prevention and protection. But former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says he is bitterly disappointed with the international community's response. Mr. Annan said richer countries should have moved faster, adding that if the crisis had hit some other region, it would have been handled differently.
I'm disappointed, first of all, with the international community for not moving faster, because we are in this world together. We saw what happened with SARS. Within 12 hours, just cross the oceans and from Asia to Canada. I point the finger of blame at the governments with capacity. For example, the statement I issued earlier in the crisis indicator that it would be good if we can send formed units to these places who can hit the ground running, help set up field hospitals for us to be able to contain the crisis. Because when you hear that in a city like Monrovia, there wasn't even a single bed for a patient with Ebola, then you realize how desperate the situations are. And I think there's enough blame to go around. The African governments and the countries in the region themselves could have done a bit more. They could have asked for help much faster. And I think the international community could have offered and organized ourselves in a much better way to offer the assistance. We didn't need to take months.
Former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. The top doctor at the Texas hospital where an Ebola patient infected two nurses before dying has apologized for his failure to diagnose him promptly. Dr. Daniel Vaga of Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital told a congressional panel it remained unclear how the nurses caught the disease. Congressmen are questioning public health officials about the threat of an Ebola outbreak in the U.S. President Barack Obama has authorized a call-up of National Guard troops and reserves if necessary to fight the spread of Ebola. Nearly 4,000 U.S. troops are being sent to West Africa to assist in containing the virus, mainly by building treatment units. The Islamic State militant group ISIS has been driven out of most of the northern Syrian town of Kobani. A Kurdish commander, Bahrain Kandal, said ISIS fighters had retreated from all areas except for two pockets of resistance in the east. US-led airstrikes have helped push back the militants, with another 14 conducted over the past 24 hours. Meanwhile, the new UN Human Rights Commissioner, Zaid Raad al-Hussein, has called ISIS a potentially genocidal movement. Mr. Hussein described the group as the antithesis of human rights. Now in sports, the Ministry of Youth and Sports has confirmed the receipt of a request by CAF to host the 2015 AFCON after Morocco declined to host on health grounds. The sector minister, Mahama Yariga, said although the ministry has not received a definite request, Ghana will consider the request based on financial and health grounds. Ms. Yariga told Radio Ghana that the country is ready and can host the tournament, but will critically assess the health issues first and will continue to engage with CAF and health experts on the way forward.
They were simply asking Ghana to stand in readiness as one of the countries that they were considering to host it if talks with Morocco did not yield the desired results. And since receiving that letter, I have tasked GFA to advise us on financial implications and our readiness to be able to host in case we are compelled to step in help out. And then also I have been discussing with our health authorities, because the Moroccans are refusing on health grounds. We are equally concerned about those same health grounds. And so if we are to communicate a decision, we also are looking at the same health issues. So it is true that the Confederation of African Football has written to us, but they say they have also written to other African countries.
Youth and Sports Minister Mahama Yariga. A former GFA president, Alhaji MND Jaula, says the country can host the AFCON 2015 tournament should CAF settle on her. He said although it will be difficult to put an excellent plan in place in just 3 months, certain measures and infrastructure must be ready to ensure the comfort of both players and supporters. Alhaji Jaula thinks CAF's request to Ghana is an opportunity which must not be taken for granted despite the Ebola disease. To end the news, the main point again. The Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakofibua, has urged the National Petroleum Authority to work with the bulk petroleum distribution companies, BDCs, and oil marketing companies to streamline the credit regimes in the downstream petroleum sector. This will help stop what he termed the cash and carry system BDCs are using in selling petroleum products to filling stations to curtail the artificial shortage of products on the market. Government is putting in place measures to close down all witches camps across the country as part of efforts to protect the rights of women held in the camps. In line with this, the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection is collaborating with civil society organizations and relevant legal representatives to ensure the release of the alleged witches currently being camped. And UN Chief Ban Ki-moon has launched another urgent appeal for funds to help fight Ebola after a United Nations drive for donations fell short of its target. The UN chief said the $1 billion trust fund he launched in September has received just $100,000 so far. He joins a growing chorus of world leaders criticizing the global effort to tackle the Ebola outbreak. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson in Accra. Thank you.